All right, folks, welcome back to our first regular season edition of the Mountain West Wire Basketball Edition podcast extravaganza. We'll go about once a week, like we said, non-conference slate. And make sure you check the feed on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, Spreaker. Tune in, because we're doing football and basketball, so make sure you know what you're getting into. Jeremy Moss, Eli Betker, and we've had an interesting week of games so far, week plus.
Yeah, we have. It's been relatively good, I'd say. Today was a bit of a downer, but that happens. You'll have some good days and bad days, but overall, not too bad.
Yeah, doing all right. For those wondering, this is recorded Sunday night, so we've seen all the games up to the... Well, we know what happened to all the games up to this point.
Right.
Haven't seen every game, but this includes like Florida State, CSU, Boise, Iowa State, St. Mary's, San Jose State. So this should be up Monday morning, and it is, as we mocked before, feast week, because... It is, right?
It is, even though I just had my Thanksgiving turkey because, you know, in 4 days I'll be heading down to Portland and watch the PK Invitational.
That's right. That'll be a good one. So,
oh, man.
Quick question for you. Me and Brandon Blake on a football show talked about turkey. Is turkey overrated? Do you love turkey? Is it okay?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on turkey?
I don't think it's overrated. It's solid. It's not ham, but it's good. You know, I had to, that was low hanging fruit. I had to drop that
that's
in there.
That's fine. Yeah. I put a poll out. That's fair. I put a poll out there a week or so ago. Most people said Thanksgiving dinner was overrated.
Oh, come on.
It was split between overrated and just fine. Nobody says underrated, which I'm cool with. No, you should try out. I put this on my Facebook page. You may have seen it because I think we're Facebook buddies. But somebody put a recipe. It's called it a trend, but I don't think it's a trend. Flaming hot Cheeto crust on the outside of your
what?
Turkey.
No, okay, that's overrated then.
Like, they, I guess they crunch it up and you make a little, just a crust essentially.
Hmm.
I do like Flaming Hot Cheetos, but I would try that, but I would need like a game hen or something small to try it on instead of a giant turkey, waste of 20 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe if it's over at someone else's house on like a Wednesday or Tuesday, the few days before I give it a try, but... No, I mean, Thanksgiving only comes once. You got to enjoy it while it lasts. So I think overall, Thanksgiving dinner is probably properly rated.
It's good. I'm not saying it's bad by any means. I'm just like, turkey, it's okay. It's not bad. My favorite thing, if it's made right, and when I say made right, it's my recipe. It's my stuff. When I make stuffing.
Oh, yeah.
When I make my own stuffing, that's the best. If you make it wrong, it's
the night's ruined. Terrible. I'll say cranberry sauce is overrated, though.
Oh, I do not like cranberry sauce.
There we go. We agreed on food take.
Hey, we like stuffing and cranberry sauce. Do you put bacon in your stuffing?
I haven't, but that sounds elite.
What I do, real quick, we'll get to basketball talk, of course. We got to have some nonsense, but I'll make it from scratch. It's my recipe my mom made. We don't really put bacon inside it. You basically layer bacon on the top. So like you do about four or five. Depending how big your pan is, you kind of layer it with bacon. So it's not overwhelming. It's just a little bit here and there, but
that has to be a Texas thing, right?
Of course, yeah, I guess I don't know. I'd like to say I should be shying away from that because I guess yesterday or this past week you cannot open carry a sword or machete, which I'm like, is that necessary? I don't know. It's a mess, but so you're going to that tournament up in Portland. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so. It will be fun. So hopefully the traffic isn't too bad. I'm hoping the weather is. Hangs in there for Thursday's commute because we got to leave bright and early. We've got 12 games to watch that weekend, and it'll be a good time.
Let's get back to Mountain West stuff. No more turkey, no more Thanksgiving. But if you have Thanksgiving, find a good stuffing recipe. Maybe I'll find my recipe and post it. That should be a good idea.
There we go. Yeah.
Do I need to? Because I power ranked some sort of fourth. Did I power rank 4th of July condiments or sides? Do I need to power rank Thanksgiving sides?
I think so. Yeah, because it's definitely a controversial topic. Just like. Halloween candy and what was the other one? It's like maybe Christmas meals that are controversial, but no, I think you should probably go for that.
I think so, but I think you and me would say stuffy number one, right? Overall seed.
I would say so. Cranberry is definitely the like 16 seed plan.
Marshmallow yams, no way. Get those away from me. That's garbage.
Oh, gosh, come on, that's awful.
Good. Yes, we got food stuff. All right, let's get to hoops. So here's what happened. So we're about a week plus in. For these games, so I guess we're going to do this, we're not going to go through every game, that's boring. We'll talk about some highlights, some big picture stuff, what's going on, some big games. I guess a couple of big stories, I would say. First off, we got Nevada beat Rhode Island last week, which is pretty good. And Let me ask you this. Since they won that game, do you think that's going to get them enough to be ranked on Monday in the next poll?
I don't think it will be. I think they're still a week away, and they have a pretty decent schedule coming up. They're home against Davidson, and they have to go on the road and play Hawaii. So if they can win those two games, I think they'll probably be ranked next Monday, but I think they'll probably be inching towards the top 25 this week. I think they only picked up a vote, maybe just a couple more in the last poll, so I'd say they're still a week away.
I thought it was closer. I'm looking right now. They have in the coaches, or excuse me, eight people. I thought they had more. They only had two votes, or 2 points, I should say. So I thought they were a bit higher. Like, that's matching, like, Oakland and Dayton, who they beat Dayton get consideration to beat Rhode Island, who is 27th if you go that deep. So I thought they were a bit higher, but I guess I don't know who lost in front of them, but I guess you're right. They'll be close. But that Rhode Island game, like, people were pumped about that game. Watching that game over on CBS Sports Network, this is a game where, like, people talk about, like, officiating. I thought the officiating was fine. People were talking about free throw discrepancy. Did people not know Nevada likes to attack the basket and shoot a million free throws a game? All right, so, yeah, Nevada just has 2 points or two votes. Or depending, it could be 2 points, could be two. Well, it is 2 points. could be two votes or one vote, so we'll see how they go, but after that game, let's talk about the Rhode Island game, because that's who they beat, and like I said, you don't think they'll be ranked. They'll be closer. They have Davidson, who's getting consideration, but did you think, I don't think this is the case, and a lot of people on Twitter were bashing the officiating. I thought it was done fine, because people were upset at the free throw discrepancy, but do people not watch Nevada hoops? Don't they know that's kind of what they do at times? It's kind of attack?
Yeah, exactly. They were in the top 30 in free throw late rate last year. And the additions of the Martin twins only allow this team to be more aggressive when it comes to getting to the basket and drawing fouls. So maybe there are a few questionable calls here and there, but you'll have that for every game. I think a lot of people look at free throw attempts as like the main determinant of whether a game was called fairly, but that's never the case. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And the free throw attempts, it was 44-18 in Nevada's advantage. And maybe that's a bit lopsided, but maybe Rhode Island wasn't attacking the basket nearly as much. They attempted 22 threes. Nevada only attempted 13. So it could have a lot to do with styles, but I think overall it was probably officiated fairly well.
You know how I could tell Nevada was attacking the basket?
How's that?
They didn't get a lot of, besides the free throws, clearly, they didn't get many and-one attempts, but just field goal attempts. 70 to Rhode Island, 43 for Nevada.
Mm.
And so that tells me they're attacking the basket and getting not, like, well, a couple out of free throws. They're getting fouled and not making it. And those shots don't count as a missed shot. And so who knows how many shots they actually took that didn't get that went to the line that didn't go in. That could have been with 44 attempts. That could have been 15 shots, 20 shots possibly. I don't know. Just kind of going off of 44, you have the 1-1 or the bonus and just fouls on the floor. But part of it too, they only get 43 attempts. So that's part of it too. But this game kind of felt like a tournament game a little bit, where Nevada got out big because this is the two teams that are, Rhode Island is supposed to be, were they the A-10 champs, preseason champs?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you got them, you got Nevada. And look what happened. Like, there is the one nasty injury to EC Matthews, which is pretty nasty. He came back in, but I believe, isn't he out for a couple weeks, I thought?
I haven't seen a follow-up on it, but I don't think he missed a play, if I remember correctly.
He missed a Holy Cross game next. I know he came out, but I don't know how much time he missed. I think I was listening to the guys at Mid Major Madness, their show, and they're talking about this game, and EC Matthews, he went out falling pretty hard, but he didn't play versus Holy Cross the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they mentioned him out, but that hurt him because he's one of their better players on the team. And like, Nevada was, I wouldn't say they're in control of the whole game, but they showed off early in the first half. They're up by 10. They're hitting 3-point shots for sort of, I guess. They're attempting them, I should say. But if you look at what they do best, they rebound fairly well. Offensive rebound didn't help for them, but it was a lot of, look at that, 7 steals. It's a pretty big deal. They had 4 blocks. They, points off turnovers, I think I should have stat broadcast up, but they turned the ball over the same, but I think they're scoring off those turnovers. I guess the big difference where I thought Nevada would have been better was rebounding, especially offense. You see that? How does Rhode Island not win this game when they have 18 offensive boards of 4, or to 6, and I think they had outscored, I should check real quick, but they outscored, like, second chance points is point attempts or points made went Rhode Island fairly easily. Based off like that type of stuff, they probably should have won this game.
Yeah, they definitely made it close. And on top of that, they also went 9 of 22 from deep, and Nevada only hit 4 3-pointers, which is usually their forte. So I think Nevada fans knew that this wasn't going to be an easy one, and Nevada coaches knew that as well. And the Wolfpack got off to a pretty solid start, sizable lead, and Rhode Island continued to cut into that lead, but Nevada prevailed at the end, and a lot of games throughout the season will come down to free throws, and the Wolfpack were able to convert. They were 36 of 44 from the line. Carolina was 14 of 17, and Caleb Martin was 12 of 13. So, good performance for the Wolfpack, and they followed it up with two convincing road wins on Wednesday and Saturday. It won the games by a combined 55 points, so those weren't competitive. They nailed threes with both of those games. So, the team's doing just about as well as we all expected in the preseason.
You know, we forgot to mention. We
What's
for,
that?
we forgot to mention you're famous in Reno Arena, and was it Ray, what's the arena called there in Reno? May whatever the arena is called there. You're on Jumbotron.
Yeah, Lawler Event Center. Yeah, so
Lawyer, that's what it was. I was going blank.
I wouldn't have even known, but someone said, "Hey, Nevada used your tweet as motivation," and the first thing was like, "Oh God, what did I say?"
Yeah, what went wrong? What,
and
how did I make him
so,
mad?
yeah, I take it back. I take it back. So then I took a look, and it was the tweet about how many days it's been since the Mountain West team was ranked. So that ties right back into what we were saying. And it's coming up on 1,000 days. So hopefully the Wolfpack can, or yeah, I would assume it's the Wolfpack. If any teams, it will be in the top 25 in the coming weeks. And I guess since we're still on the topic, we just got a message from Jim Vasquez, who's a big Nevada Wolfpack fan. He said, "Would you still leave Cody Martin out of your top 25 Mountain West Wire countdown?"
Ooh.
So that's a tough question. I would have to look at who he had on the top 25. I can pull it up really quick, but if I
But
remember
also, it's only
correctly,
been a couple of games, though. It hasn't been that many games either.
yeah, it's true. I mean, we're only in mid-November, but he's been excellent so far, and he started right off the jump, which I don't think a ton of people expected. He's probably outperformed Caleb Martin so far. So I might consider that, but he's been excellent, which is the overall point, I guess, of what he's trying to say. So that's great for the Wolfpack. Both twins are producing. You got Stevens and all the returning guys. This team's solid.
And one thing I noticed too, like I was looking at a couple of things, like Kendall Stevens. I was looking at the box score just now from that Reno game versus Rhode Island, and I'm like, oh, he scored 0 points, Kendall Stevens. And I'm like, well, what's he doing? Why is he starting? Why is it the other Martin guys to get in his place? I know they play sort of guard forward, whatever. It's they kind of blend together, this Nevada team, who plays what position. So, but he scores 0 points in 18 minutes. He barely plays versus Idaho. But then he goes to the Pacific, goes 5 of 10 for 3-point range, plays 30 minutes, and gets, what's that, 20 total points. Is he a guy in this team where he could be like kind of the X Factor guy, perhaps, you think, going down once we get into league play and hopefully tournament play?
Yeah, I think so. And what you said there doesn't surprise me at all. And I pretty much saw his first 2.5 seasons that he played at Purdue.
That's right,
And
yeah.
it's what he would do. He would have games where he'd nail 5 or 6 3-pointers and he'd get 20 points and finish first or second on the team in scoring with the Boilermakers. And there'd be nights where he couldn't hit a thing. So I think best case scenario, he's knocking down a handful of threes every game. And worst case scenario, which honestly isn't that bad, is they just use him as a decoy, because anyone who's associated with college basketball knows that Kendall Stevens can shoot and he can heat up really fast. So even if he doesn't have it on any given night, he can still be out there and help out the spacing, which makes Nevada even more difficult to stop.
All right, so I have a very important question to ask you now.
Of
Of course, you know it's going to be serious, so I start like that. But you mentioned somebody who, because we need to find a Nick Duncan replacement.
I figured this was going to come up.
Who was it you mentioned? I'm trying to find the tweet. Who do you recommend?
Christian Sangfelder from Boise State, the old German transfer from Fordham.
Why is that? Why do you think he should be in consideration? Foreigner plays for Boise or something else?
There are some correlations, so I don't think there's any requirements. And you know, like the players, sometimes us media guys get caught up in the heat in the moment of the game. But when it comes down to it, Christian Sangfelder has been excellent so far this season, and he's a big body guy. I think he's listed at 6'9", 240, so that's creeping up on Nick Duncan measurements right there. But this guy could shoot, and he showed that today against Iowa State. Even though it was a loss, he knocked down four threes. Excellent inside-out guy who'll probably be able to shoot over 40% from deep this year. He's not going to flip off fan bases or anything like that. He's far more mellow and quiet, I guess. But yeah, I mean, we love Nick Duncan for what he did, but I think Sengfeller's more maybe level-headed, so to speak. But anyways, this guy can shoot, and he'll put up a number of threes this year and knock down a ton. And Boise State will be fun to watch just because of how well they can shoot. And we like our big guys that can shoot threes and do all sorts of fun and entertaining things. So I think Christian Sengfeller is probably a pretty good Nick Duncan replacement. And it just so happens that he really is a Nick Duncan replacement within the BSU rotation.
I don't know, I like Kendall Stevens with his inconsistency at three-point shooting.
yeah, but he can pour it in when he's hot, so that's fun.
We'll see. So let's get to another team. Let's go to New Mexico. Are they? I should check this up before I bring it up. But they scored 100 points in a couple of their games. Are they? I believe they're leading the conference in scoring. But yet, we also need to consideration because who are you playing? They are 2-1. They lost to New Mexico State recently. So only scored 56 points. People on Twitter, I know you love your team. I know we say we're biased against every team. We're also realistic. People who say, who was it? Somebody spouting off on Twitter about New Mexico. You said they're going to have, I remember what it was. Sam Logwood's going to be their one guy in double digits. We kind of projected our preseason show. He's like, they had eight guys in double digits when they played Northern New Mexico. It's like, come on. It's Northern New Mexico. I get scoring. Their pace is getting to be pretty ridiculous so far for a couple of the games. They only played three. And New Mexico State kind of stymied that, but they can score points if they can get the right rotation going. Because right now, they have, seven guys? Two, three, four, five, six guys in double figures. That's not going to last. And again, you're playing lower competition for at least the first game. Omaha's, whatever, Nebraska. That's cool. But New Mexico State's probably going to win the WAC or be top three then, Utah Valley and Grand Canyon. They had to show up and, they didn't play very well versus New Mexico State. They only had Mathis and Chris McNeil do anything special. They shot terribly from the ball, from the outside, or anywhere in the field. Their defense did okay, but this is one of those games like the Nevada-Rhode Island game, a little bit, free throw discrepancy, where they were doubled 10-21 in free throw attempt, or three free throws made, and they were 6-20 from three-point range. Yes, New Mexico State was 39% overall, but they gotta, if they're gonna be a team that's gonna be better than last year, I know New Mexico State's good, but you can't score 56 points and shoot 38%.
I think, yeah, I mean, we have to take the first two games with a grain of salt. They're not going to average 100 points this year. I think everyone knows that. The drop-off from – I would hope so. The drop-off from 100 in the first two games to 56 against New Mexico State is a little bit concerning because New Mexico State's the first quality opponent they've played this year. And I don't think the final score really tells the whole story. New Mexico is fairly competitive throughout the game. But I think what we've seen the first three games out of the Lobos is that Paul Weir is going to, at the very least, mess things up. And I mean that in a positive connotation, because when you don't necessarily have as much talent as the other teams in the league, when your best player is Sam Logwood, who's not necessarily a household name, I think your best case is to play with a bit of an unorthodox style, and that's what New Mexico is doing. They ran 100 possessions in the first game of the year against Northern New Mexico. They're pressing all the time, even if they're up. Just making it super difficult on their opponents. And sometimes it'll backfire, and we saw that against New Mexico State. Shots won't fall. Teams with good guards will be able to break the press with ease and get easy layups, but I think the first three games are a relative bright spot for this team because it's an interesting style that Paul Weir's bringing. It's a lot more enthusiasm as opposed to the Craig Neal days. So there are definitely some bright spots from the first week and a half.
So there are some good stuff there. But one thing I'd mention, if they're going to be better, I know you said the free throws don't tell the whole game, but their defense, I only watched a tiny bit of this game, but I know New Mexico State has some guys, but this Lobos defense may be something that could be better than their offense. holding the Aggies to just like a 39%. I know they chucked a lot of threes, 4 of 20. But I'm wondering if they held them to 75 points is pretty good for in college basketball. If you get about, it's just above average, right? Am I correct on that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay, but I'm wondering if that defense could be better than the offense at some points. If they hold the Aggies to that field point and they start playing teams like Nevada, which has people that could score. Maybe when they play San Diego State, it'll be a low-scoring game until maybe Devin Watson gets up, gets his scoring capabilities up like he did before he came in from San Francisco. UNLV has some guys who could score. I'm wondering, I know it's way too early to tell, but I'm thinking the defense could be a key factor to them if the offense is up and down. Because if you look at KenPom real quick, like their adjusted offense, he takes into consideration opponent as well, right?
Yes.
So for just the here, oh, here's I was hovering, just now found it. For some reason, it now worked. It's like adjusted offense plus SOS. So they've scored, what, 147 versus Northern New Mexico. They scored over 100 versus Nebraska, Amon, just 56 in the versus the Aggies. Do you want to take a guess where they're at in adjusted offensive performance or pace?
I have it right in front of me.
224 in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So despite them scoring so many points, and there's 351 teams, so it's bottom third. So they can score 200 points against a crappy team. If it's a crappy team, it's going to be reflected as not being considered like higher up on that adjusted offensive pace or adjusted offense, you'd say. So I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking like what they've done. Their defense has been pretty good, especially versus the Aggies. Omaha only had 71 points, which they're putting backups and stuff in. But I think the defense could be something to look at for this team where not that the Lobos want to keep a low-scoring game. They want to run and get a lot of points, as you could tell. But maybe something will come into that defense where they could stop a team. But that's still too early to tell. But it's kind of something I noticed when they played an actual team, even though they lost by, 19 points.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you'll have a night where New Mexico will probably beat one of the top four or five teams in the league. And that's because, I mean, the defense that they play, even though it's not the best that it can be right now, and you can't really expect to insert a press and have it work overnight. That's just not going to happen, especially with a rather young and inexperienced group. But they can probably knock off a middle tier or top four or five team in this league this year because of the style that they play. And they'll press up and down. They're going to inbound the ball and just run up the court and try to find a good shot as quick as they can. And that wears down on some teams. And some teams in this league are better trained and have fewer problems with fatigue than others. But maybe you run into a team that has difficulty with that style of play and their guards get frustrated by being swarmed right when they inbound the ball. So I like the style that New Mexico plays with, and they don't necessarily have all the pieces right there to make it all come together and win 20 games or so, but at the very least, their style should be able to win them some games in conference play, I'd think.
All right, really quick, let's stick with the Lobos at the moment. They got Tennessee Tech this week. That should be a victory. They got TCU end of the week on Friday the 24th. Isn't that part of a tournament, correct?
Yeah, it's in Niceville, Florida. That is, I don't have it in front of me right now. I'm blanking
Emerald,
on the name.
Oh, here it is, Emerald Coast
Classic. Emerald Coast Classic?
Yeah, I guess the Tennessee Tech game is technically part of that series. So they play 7 Eastern on CBS Sports Network on Friday. This will be the big test because TCU was predicted to, what, the top third in the Big 12?
Yeah, I think they're third or fourth.
Third or fourth, so this is a team that also wants to score points. When you look at what they do, they score about 86 points a game. Four guys in double figures. One thing we will sort of know, which is kind of good for if you want to kind of scoreboard watch. They beat Tennessee Tech 100-63, and that's who obviously Lobos play on the 21st or before the TCU game, a couple days before. But they also play Omaha on the same day before New Mexico. So that I know it's kind of maybe not the best to look at that, but if they beat Omaha, whatever, you kind of look at those two scores and kind of compare a little bit, but TCU scores some points. They have guys like Vladimir, I'm going to butcher this name here, Vladimir Borjanovsky, 17 points a game. You got to stop that guy. They balance scoring, but again, it's so early to tell when they're playing like South Dakota, Louisiana Monroe, not great teams. Better competition than the Lobos, I would say, because, Northern Mexico?
Yeah. it'll be a good test.
What chances do you have them winning on that neutral site floor against the Horned Frogs?
Pretty slim, I would say. Jamie Dixon has more experience in the head coaching spot over at TCU, and I think they've Their roster is more experienced as well, so that's a tough team to play. But I think you're right. It's a good measuring stick for them to play one of the top teams in the country in TCU. And the Horned Frogs have some really good ball players, like Brodzianski is a good player, and Kenrich Williams is solid. Jalen Fisher is a good guard. So a lot of talent on that roster. I don't expect the Lobos to win, but if they can remain competitive and if their defense shows some signs and can maybe frustrate the TCU guards a little bit, that will definitely be a positive sign for Weir and the bunch moving forward.
Is this just a one-and-done tournament? Is there? I should pull it up here, not just spring it on to you. But are there, is this a multi-team tournament?
I'm trying to see. If it is, it's only like one other game, I think.
Okay, here we go. Here's how I actually pulled it up. Go over blogging the bracket there. Invaluable resource for some of this stuff. they'd play either Maryland or St. Bonaventure.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
So those are Maryland's obviously Big Ten. St. Bonaventure, I'm not sure where they're at, but usually a decent team in A-10. So that's who they would play. You know what's funny? Games are on CBS Sports Network, the semifinals. Friday, the championship is on CBS Sports Network. The Constellation is on YouTube.
Interesting.
I guess it's easier to watch because not as many people get CBS. So,
yeah, that's an interesting relegation there.
I know, I just look at them like, all right, that's sure, that's what you got. All right, so another team. Let's talk about the Rebels because they're not a top 15 team, folks. For whatever people want to tell us, they are improving. They are better than last year. How much better? It's still the I need the shrug emoji. Is that what that's called? The whatever emoji? Can't tell yet.
It's not worse than last year. It can't be. But this team's exciting. They have a lot of quality players there. I think Shakir Justin's been really good right off the bat. Brandon McCoy's pretty much been a guarantee for 20 and 10 every night. And the team's shooting well, which was a concern for them coming in. You're wondering how well they could shoot the basketball, but it hasn't been bad so far. They're actually 26 in the country right now in field goal percentage, so that's a really good first sign. And you have to take into account the competition, of course, but you want to see what this team does, and they've done really well the first three games.
Serious question for you, and you know that means joke question probably. How's their late game inbounding play? Defense or offense?
Well, they haven't been in a pressure situation yet, so I guess that time will come eventually. Shout out to Dave Rice; he's still doing his thing.
Yeah. Is he with Nevada still, or no? He went to
UW.
That's right, UW as assistant. Okay,
sorry. Killer on the recruiting trails, but maybe not in late game scenarios. And Menzies will get his fair shot, but. Overall, I like what this team is doing so far. I've been able to tune into their first three games, and I've liked what I've seen.
Yeah, McCoy, he's been the guy. Like, I watched a little bit of him in the under-19 FIBA during the summer. Wasn't he their most efficient player, I believe, on the U.S. team for a while? Or the tournament, actually? He's leading the team in scoring. Like, who knows if he's a one-or-done guy, but he's hitting the boards. He does turn the ball over a bit too much, gets a block a game, which is nice. But... You want to see, like, their guard, Javon Mooring. He's scoring well. He's getting five assists a game. Like you mentioned, Jordan Johnson, Shakir Justin there. It's, again, like, it's all this stuff, it's kind of too early to tell. But this weekend, yeah, they play Rice, who's not this weekend, but later in the week, who's not very good. They're usually not good out of Conference USA. So in this tournament, it's at the MGM main event. They should beat Rice because it's a – Sorry, it's Rice. I'm familiar with Rice. They're not very good. They're smart, but not really good. They've already lost to Eastern Kentucky and Georgia State. And they beat, who's that, Northwest State? Northwestern? I don't know who that is. NWST? Northwestern State?
Yeah, Northwestern State, I believe.
But what I really want to see is the next game, where they will play either University of Utah or Ole Miss. So that will be, my tournament page is gone. That will be a game you want to see. And these games are on, let's see, what day of the week? Sorry, too many schedules. November 20th, that's on AT&T Sportsnet. So if you get AT&T, you can watch it, probably stream it on the Mountain West site. They should beat Rice. Then I'm not sure who they beat between Utah and Ole Miss, but regardless, it's two decent opponents. Utah beat Missouri last week, but without Michael Porter Jr., so whatever that consideration. Not much, I guess, because they beat him pretty handily. But, heck, if they're playing either of those teams, at worst, it's a game where you're probably getting a top 50 team almost, top 75 team.
Yeah, it's not a team that's going to run you out of the building, I wouldn't think. It's no Arizona, which they play on December 2nd, so that one That's going to be quite the test. But at least you have either Ole Miss or Utah as a bit of a tune-up, and you basically get to play it in your backyard, so that's nice. I'm curious to see some of the matchups and see how McCoy does in his first true power conference opponent. That'll be a good, once again, measuring stick for the Rebels. So I'm curious how those two games go. And then they've got Southern Utah, which is one of the worst teams in the country, so they should be able to beat them. And then Northern Iowa on the road, which is part of the Missouri Valley Mountain West Challenge. Yeah. So that could be a bit difficult against the Panthers. They're usually pretty solid. But some decent tests, and then you roll into conference play and see what the Rebels do. But like I said, been pretty impressed so far about what they've been doing.
You know what matchup I want to see?
What's that?
David Collette, Brandon McCoy.
Ooh, yeah. Good old Collette.
Kidding aside, that should be a decent matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Because Collette, I think he's starting for the Utes. He didn't shoot very well, but at 17 points in their win over against Missouri. So but seriously, he's an experienced guy. He could be a matchup where it could be somewhere where McCoy plays a solid opponent. And for those who are honest for saying UNLV's not going to be amazing, it's still early. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They are, like I said, playing better than last year, and they're getting stuff done. Like, they are scoring points. McCoy, I know the competition's not there, but it's way better than high school. And it's probably, I don't know how to compare these teams with the Unite team, but it's Division I basketball. It's not high school, so that's a big jump regardless. So with him being the leading scorer, leading rebounder, probably when they have the awards will be Freshman of the Week, I'm assuming, or if that's already came out, will be named that. Whenever, who knows when those come out, but that's we'll see. They got Rice. This week it'll know. When we record next, we'll probably have a couple more games in the books. We'll kind of know where they're at. But let me ask you this. Will they be undefeated when they play Arizona?
I think they're probably going to drop the game against Northern Iowa and maybe against either Ole Miss or Utah. So I would be surprised if they were undefeated. They're probably going to lose. I would say they lose the Northern Iowa game, and they might beat either Utah or Ole Miss. But that Arizona game is going to be really fun because those are probably two of the best front courts in all of West Coast basketball. So Arizona's got Ristich and DeAndre Ayton and Manuel Aycott and all these guys that are just excellent. So that's going to be fun to watch, see how Shakir Jusen and Brandon McCoy match up with against the nation's elite. So that'll be fun.
All right, so what team should we talk about next? We do Aztecs, I guess, go through most of these teams here.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's go over to SDSU.
We have to talk about the Arizona State game.
Yeah, I think that's worth talking about.
So they're 2-1. They've beaten a bunch of nobodies. McNeese State and San Diego Christian, who they seem to play every year. They're in this game. Arizona State's not supposed to be particularly good this year. They're supposed to be just okay. They're never great, but just okay. They were leading the game at halftime. Okay, cool. 40-34. Malik Pope's doing his thing. You've got Devin Watson, who didn't really do much, but they're winning at the halftime. Somehow, the Aztec defense decided not to show up in the second half. Allowed 56 points, doubled up by Arizona State. How is that possible? Why does this happen?
They looked lost, honestly. I was pretty shocked because SDSU did a great job finishing off the half, I thought. They did really well and got some momentum, had a basket right before the end of the half, held a 40-34 lead at the break. They had a 6-point lead in a Pac-12 arena on the road. It was looking pretty well, pretty good. And then, man, ASU just blew the doors off. They couldn't miss. SDSU was missing a bunch of assignments. Max Montana went down with a knee injury. He'll be out possibly up to 4 weeks, so that hurts because he was their main offensive outlet in this game. He knocked down a handful of threes. And San Diego State went in one of those offensive droughts that we had seen the last few years with the Steve Fisher teams. They went about 7 minutes and made only one field goal. And over that span, Arizona State extended their lead from 54-50 all the way up to 76-52. And by that point, it was game over. So, man, it's tough. And Mark Ziegler said, man, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because Brian Dutcher, you got a new face there on the sidelines. And you got Devin Watson there in rotation. And Cameron Rooks and these guys.
Eight points for Watson. I thought Watson's supposed to be the guy to come in and be the scoring dude. Get like 15 a game.
Yeah, it wasn't there on Tuesday against Arizona State. He did dish out 9 assists, so we have to give him credit for that. But it was brutal, and I was just amazed by their defense because usually it's what keeps SDSU in these games where they can't score, but they couldn't stop anything, and ASU just plowed its way and went 8 of 25 from deep, and they converted 63% of their two-point attempts. So they followed it up with a blowout win against McNeese State, and they scored 83 points and only allowed 52. So so that's fine, but it's too bad because SDSU's schedule is really limited in terms of non-conference opponents. They do have a guaranteed game against Gonzaga at home, and they might get a shot to play St. Mary's if things work out in the Wooden Legacy this weekend, but that's pretty much it for quality opponents. So at best, their at-large hopes are hanging on by a thread, if that.
So I was going to ask you, was this a must-win game to get at-large bid, perhaps? I know it's early, but come on, you got a Pac-12 team. Because just by virtue of being the Pac-12, ASU will probably be, what, top 75 team?
I would think so. And I hate saying that games are must-win in the first week, and people get on me for that. But if you look at it from the bigger picture, San Diego State, at best, will have three shots to beat top 50 non-conference opponents. If it's Gonzaga, St. Mary's, and Arizona State, if the Sun Devils continue their play throughout the rest of the season, which I guess we'll find out. But
right now, real quick, they're 81 in RPI, Arizona State.
Okay, and it's still really early. They're 75th in KenPom, so they might be a bubble team, and maybe they find anywhere in the tournament. But so, I mean, you have one power conference team on your non-conference schedule, and come up short like that, lose by 22. It's difficult to say here on November 19th.
Well.
Yeah, they do have Cal, but still. Man, the Golden Bears are awful. I mean, they're almost 0-3. So you are right on that. That is a power conference opponent, but their non-conference schedule offers next to nothing. So I did mark this Arizona State game down pretty much as a de facto must-win game, and they came up well short. So we'll see what happens the rest of the season. But man, that's a huge, huge loss.
They're in the, you said the Wooden Classic, right?
Yeah, the Wooden Legacy. So there are some decent teams in that one. Best case scenario is they get to play St. Mary's in the championship game, I believe. So their path right now, they play Sacramento State, which is a joke. then they play Georgia or Cal State Fullerton. So hopefully that's Georgia. They get a chance to beat them, but Georgia's probably a bubble team. And then hopefully it's St. Mary's. Harvard lost to I think Manhattan the other day. Washington State's pretty bad, and St. Joe's.
Dude, don't bash on the Jaspers, man. Come on.
I mean, not a perennial NCAA tournament team. So basically,
no, they're not. No, the chances they are good a couple times. They're good for a couple years. They haven't been great at all, but they've been okay every now and then.
Yeah, you're right.
MAC school, so I know. I'm talking about the MAC up there. But yeah, like Washington State or St. Mary's, probably St. Mary's, but we'll see. Just real quick, these are late games. Like they are. Even the West Coast, 10 p.m. tip-off against Sac State. So if you are an East Coast Aztec fan and really want to watch this game, it's 1 a.m. I recommend not doing that. Put on your DVR and watch it. You know what I mean? Put on DVR and watch it at Thanksgiving in the morning or something. If you really want to get your Aztec hoops fixing. But, man. But, yeah, that's this weekend. Like, if they can get would you say they have about a 60% chance of winning the whole thing or making the finals?
San Diego State.
Like, what do you think their chances are of actually getting to play St. Mary's, assuming it goes, they both went out? Like, Georgia, you said the bubble team, so Georgia's probably in the same neighborhood as Arizona State. And I don't know, what do you think? Like, what do you think their chances are of getting two quality opponents in this tournament?
They should be able to handle Sacramento State, and Sacramento State hung around with Colorado State until CSU was able to pull away, so they should be able to win that one. I think Georgia probably beats Fullerton, so they'll probably play Georgia. That one might be a coin flip. That one could be a bit of a challenge. And then hopefully if they win their first two games, they'll match up against St. Mary's. And I wouldn't really love that matchup if I'm an SDSU fan against St. Mary's. That would be a really difficult one. So the chance of winning the whole thing are probably pretty slim. But if they can get to a position where they play St. Mary's in the championship game, I think that would be pretty solid for them. But that Georgia game could be pretty tough. I think that's probably a 50-50 game.
Okay, so it's because even if they play Georgia and lose, they could still play maybe Washington State or something, who's pretty good. Well, power, whatever, Pac-12.
Or St. Joe's. I think you'd rather play St. Joe's.
You would think so? St. Joe's better than the Cougars?
Yeah, I would think so, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know St. Joe's are usually pretty good in the mix there. They had an undefeated year with Jameer Nelson a while back. So does that carry to clout this year, this time around?
Jameer Nelson, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Decade ago or something, whatever it was.
Oh, man.
all right, so let's, I guess a couple other teams to talk about. We're not going through everybody. Like Spartans, San Jose State played St. Mary's sort of tough today. They're not very good. Sorry, guys, but we already talked about them. New coach, losing your best player. Utah State, real quick, let's talk about them. They are only 2-2 at the moment. However, they played Gonzaga the other day without Kobe McEwen, where he had a bum ankle, and this is kind of similar to the Arizona State San Diego State game, with the fact of 3-point shooting. Aggies were in this game because they're shooting 3-pointers and making them. I got home like, oh shoot, these games are tied. The Utah State's up for halftime. All right, let's watch this game. They're up 45-42 at the break. Down 45-42. Make it 3-pointers. But then there's a point. 7 straight consecutive missed 3-point shots. And that's kind of the game. They can't rely on that to win against Gonzaga. But it's going to the kennel without your best player. And like you said on Twitter, both of us, a good 30-plus minutes in this game is just the last part of the second half where they ran out of fuel. And that's where good teams get you.
If they were at full strength, the way that they play the first 30 minutes, I'd give them a shot at the end because, as we've noted, they're down their top post player, Norbert Janicek. He's a 7-footer who won't play a minute this year with a knee surgery. Julian Pierre is out, who's one of their top guards. And, of course, Kobe McEwen, last year's freshman of the year, was out too. So they're down three of their top rotational guys all missed this game. And Utah State, they hung around for about 30 minutes. They had that big 5-minute scoring drought, which put the game out of reach. But like I said, if you're a Utah State fan, you're probably pretty encouraged with how they played in arguably the top 5 most difficult places to play in the country. So a Weber State game on the road, that was at Weber as well. They played well and only lost that game by 6 points too. So I think you're pretty encouraged if you're a Utah State fan with how the Aggies have played so far. And McEwen will be back, I would assume, by the Portland State game on Monday, so that should be fine. They've got some easy games coming up, so they should be able to get wins in that one. But overall, I think you're pretty pleased with the performance against Gonzaga.
No, I'm liking D'Angelo Isby.
Whew. Definitely. Oh, yeah, that guy can score.
He came out. Some people are hitting us up on Twitter like, no, this name. This guy's going to be huge. JUCO transfer coming in. Yeah. He was a big reason why they were hanging around in the Gonzaga game for his 3-point shooting. He's perfect versus Montana State, who that's a pretty good win. They have a guy who might be the NBA on that roster. So he's already made, 10 3-pointers this year? That's not bad in 4 games, 2.5 a game. So if you get him going, he's a guy where Aggies might be able to pull something off. But like I said, their schedule coming up, they got Portland State on Monday evening game, sorry. Do they have any tournaments? They got, who's any? Is that Northeastern?
Yep, Northeastern.
Hey, you're going to watch them play, the PK80, right? That's a campus game, never mind. What? I hate
the
stupid.
It's associated with the PK80. It's kind of confusing because Utah State says they're part of the PK80, but they're not, I guess, necessarily part of it. It's a bit odd.
They're dumb. I've seen these I forget who it was. Maybe it's this year. It probably happens where it's one of these associated games. Usually before you'll play just because it's technically part of it, but then you go to the main bracket. It's kind of funny when you're the home team and you lose that game, but you still move on.
Yeah.
That happens time to time. So I was like, wait, PK80, there it is. Like, no, but yeah, they play New Hampshire. Valpo will be interesting. They got BYU up in Salt Lake. Maybe I'll head up to that game. That there's some 4-team tournaments in Utah where you got BYU, Utah State, Utah playing Weber State. Some fans are pissed, like Utah Valley fans, Southern Utah fans, they want to be part of it. Especially
yeah,
when I
that's,
think
that's good
let
stuff.
Me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Maybe I'm out of line. Maybe my eyes are Mark Pope colored glasses, but could UVU be the best team over BYU, Utah, Utah State? Is that far-fetched?
Well, they've played far more challenging teams so far, so I'll give them that. And they've responded nicely, so maybe. I mean, I guess it would take the games to play to see if that's true, but you seem high on Mark Pope, and so
I like
buy
Pope
into that. And they play tough teams, so if anything else, it's good competition and some quality experience for your best players. So I give them a shot.
They are not happy to do play it, not be invited. But I'm going to go. I'm likely going to go to UVU BYU the week after Thanksgiving. So that should be a good one.
Awesome.
But so because you got, we don't need to talk about WAC, but you got Tulsa Brothers out there. They got the guy from Oklahoma coming in. Whew. Mm. They need to play some Mountain West school so I can talk more UVU basketball.
Yeah, I would say so. That'd make for some good games.
They played Wyoming last year and lost, but that's about it. And I guess it wasn't their secret scrimmage UVU Wyoming this year too. Wasn't that the case?
I think so. Yeah. I think it was. Mm-hmm. You're right.
But Aggies, they'll be okay. We'll see. Portland State's easy. Northeastern, New Hampshire, like they're probably not. I don't know. BYU, who knows? They lost UTA, Arlington, but Arlington likes to run up and down and can beat most teams. We'll see. Utah State has Utah as well, so they got Utah. They got BYU, Utah on the schedule. They got some school called Life. Who is that? Life Pacific, the insurance company?
Champion. What's that like SEC reference about Champion of Life or something? Do you know that?
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Tennessee. It was a Tennessee thing.
Oh, classic.
So I think it's Butch Davis who's out as the head coach for football, so... It was something about life champions or something like that. All right, let's blast through the rest of this. I guess let's do a quick minute on CSU because we don't want to make this like 2 hours long. So they played Florida State today. They lost. Is Florida State any good?
They're not as good as they were the last 2 years, but they're still solid.
So, yeah, I guess we've got to talk about Boise, too, in a minute. But they played Sac State, like you mentioned, played kind of close. Winthrop. Lost to Tulane. What's up with Tulane? How does that happen? They don't just lose to Tulane. They get blown out by Tulane.
Tulane opened with a 22-4 run. CSU had two baskets with 6 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, they had Shea Bob, who came off the bench for 15, but nobody else really did much. Tulane is undefeated at the moment, so that's solid for them. But that's a... If the Rams are going to make any noise, not that they really are expected to, but you can't lose to a team like that badly as well. And then Florida State, they're usually Seminoles. Usually they've been on the uptick the past couple 5 years, I'd say. But you lose to Florida State by 17 points. They weren't even really close in this game because they're down, 9 at the half, 11 at the half. Same thing. They had guys like just Shea Bob. That's the only guy. I guess Nixon finally showed up with 22, but... Florida State, the main difference, I kind of saw this, was that more buckets made, I guess. Simple as that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was odd because I was watching this game and CSU would look really good for about 2 minutes and then Florida State would go on a 7-0, 8-0 run and CSU would crawl back into it, maybe make it a 3-4 point game and then the Seminoles would answer and that was pretty much the whole 40 minutes. It was just... each team calling each other back, and eventually Florida State had the last laugh. So I guess there are some bright spots in that one, but overall, the first four games haven't been all that impressive. They came back against both Sacramento State and Winthrop. Both of those games were at home, and essentially came up empty in Jamaica against Tulane and Florida State. Mm-hmm. And next game is a true road game against New Mexico State in Las Cruces, so that's going to be a difficult one, and the first true road environment game of the year, so that's a good test for the Rams. And it doesn't get any easier either, because they host Colorado on December 2nd, and they play two true road games against Arkansas and Oregon. So
that's crazy, three days apart, or 4 days apart. That's kind of whatever, it's not football, so you're not... But still, it's kind of interesting, back-to-back
road games. It's a tough week, yeah.
Yeah, going back and forth. We got Colorado a few days before that whole week. We'll talk about those later, but CU, Arkansas, Oregon, and one calendar week.
Yep.
All right, so they're underachieving. Let's talk one more team here before we got a few big picture stuff. Sorry if we don't talk about your team this week, but we don't want to talk for 2 hours. But Boise State, they let's start with today's game. They were in the championship game of the Puerto Rico tip-off, not in Puerto Rico, because of the hurricane a while back. They're out in the Myrtle Beach, Coastal Carolina's home gym, right?
Technically Conway, South Carolina, but it was considered Myrtle Beach.
So. Okay, still a nice place to play, or if you can visit and do stuff. Puerto Rico, Myrtle Beach, not too bad. But they were rolling. They're 4-0 on the year, and then they put Iowa State, who's pretty good, more than pretty good. But here's the problem. The first 5 minutes, Chandler Hutchinson goes out with some sort of concussion. I didn't see what happened in the play because I wasn't watching at the moment. People were complaining about quit showing the replay. It looks like, I guess, his head kind of bounced off the floor where he hit so hard. But he did come back in the second half, on the bench, mind you, just kind of watching and enthusiastic. So he looked, like you mentioned before, there, essentially, like, knowing what's going on. So it seems like a concussion. But coming back to the bench is a good sign. But losing him, that's a pretty big deal. They lost by 11, but they nearly came back. Like, they were down. Weren't they down 20 at some point?
They were down 24, and they made it a 66-62 game with just over a minute and a half left. And they just hit a ton of threes, and Seinfelder poured in a number of them. And Justinian Jessup continues. I guess he was only one of six in this one, but Alexis Williams was 4 of 9, the Valpo transfer. So they put in a bunch from deep in the second half, made it interesting. With Chandler Hutchison, I think they probably would have, I can't assume they'd win this game, but they definitely play better in the end of the first half and start of the second half. So it's too bad they weren't able to capture the Puerto Rico tip-off title, but I think Leon Rice has to be encouraged with how his team has played without Chandler Hutchison. And just two games ago, Hutchison just attempted like two or three shots, and Boise State won handily. I think that was against Southern Utah, actually.
Yeah, that first game. Like, he put like 8 minutes or like very few minutes. That's no, maybe I was wrong. Yeah, the attempt. Yeah, Southern Utah, two or three overall. It was only 3 of 14 versus UTEP. They won that game as well, barely. And he had the game winner versus UTEP after the missed free throw.
Yeah, that was a wild one. So he started off that UTEP game 1 of 11 from the field, and he had 5 points in the last 5 seconds or so. So
it's all that matters, right?
Yeah, he put in that final basket and was able to advance past UTEP, which is good because the Miners have just gotten destroyed the last couple days, I think. They got blown out by South Carolina and then lost to Appalachian State, which is not a good loss at all. But 4-1 on the year, I think Hutchison should be back fairly soon. We don't know if it's a concussion, but from what we've heard, you can gently assume that it is, maybe. So the nice thing is that Boise State doesn't play till Saturday night against Loyola Marymount at home, and they don't play a road game until they're at Oregon on December 1st. So hopefully everyone's back and healthy for that Oregon game, because we've seen what these two teams have done the last couple years, and both games have been decided in the final minute. So hopefully both teams are at full strength for that one.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm trying to find out really quick if it mentions here. Asked about his departure, which appeared to be precautionary because he was cheering, like I said, on the sideline for the game. Rice said that, obviously, tough break. It's unfortunate. No, he didn't get mentioned anything specific. They got really good guards, blah, blah, blah. No specific on the injury, but it does seem like a concussion, the way he hit his head in the ground. So he has to clear whatever protocol they have for the head injury. And, like, he is their best player, but it's good, like he said, here's the thing. He goes out in the early part of the game. Your team is like, oh, crap, what's going on? We got to adjust. Who's going to take over? Who's our main guy now? Because Hutchison was the guy. And so there's a little bit of Iowa State took advantage of that. Boise finally figured it out. But Iowa State's still a good enough team late where Boise still was watching the end of this game, relying on three-point shots. They weren't attacking very often late in the game because even there's that position when they're down, I think, 5 or 6. They're waiting for a three-point shot, wasted a lot of time, eventually went in for some like reverse layup that didn't really roll in, but it's just a tough spot to be in when your best player goes out and you got to adjust on the fly like that.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see what Boise State does moving forward, and as long as Hutchison comes back, this team should be fine. But like I said, it's nice to know that they have guys like Christian Seinfelder and Alexis Williams, and Alex Hobbs has been a bright spot so far. So some better scores than probably most would have imagined in the preseason that are showing up in the first week and a half.
So let me ask you this. After Nevada, who would you say is the next best team so far?
I've been impressed with Wyoming, actually. First two games, they came back to, I guess they didn't come back to beat Chattanooga, but they held off Chattanooga, which isn't too bad of a team. They looked pretty solid in that one. And then Oregon State, a true road win against the Beavers, which was nice. And Wyoming came from behind. They played pretty close. They led by 7.5 of that one. And then Oregon State came back. And then Wyoming answered in the final 5 minutes. Alan Herndon had, I think, 3 swats in the final 5 minutes or so. He finished with 6 overall. And Hayden Dalton continues to stroke it from deep. He was the first week this season, he was named the Mountain West Player of the Week. So that's an impressive accolade for him. But I think the Cowboys are pretty solid. They get production from Alan Herndon. Freshman Hunter Maldonado has been solid so far. And Justin James hasn't done a ton the first two games, and the Cowboys have been fine without a ton of production on his end. So when he does produce and he's pouring in 25 plus a night or whatever it might be, that'll be fun to watch too, because Hayden Dalton right now is he's catching fire, and it's just a pleasure to watch.
He is. I remember that game watching. I didn't have Pac-12 Network, but kind of watching his stats. Like, he was stuck at, like, was it 14 points forever? Or 12 yeah. points? Something in the second half. They finally, so I'm like, crap, they're down 10 points. You're down this many points. You're down 72-60 at some point. But they had that 22-5 scoring surge late in the game. But, like, Dalton was, like, no points, and he finally ended up with 22. So they've been playing pretty well. They still have coming up. They got South Dakota State, who has a – it's a 12:30 Cayman Island Classic game. Is that, that's on Monday, right? 12:30 Mountain Time?
Yep.
Oh, so maybe you're listening to this at the moment. Maybe that game's already happened. Hopefully, we'll see. I'll get it up Sunday night, but who knows if it'll be available for you to listen to if you're working or not working. But is there other games? I'm looking real quick. Is there other games at Cayman Classic? I'm assuming, right?
Yes, there are. It's an 8-team field, and you've got some quality opponents in there. Iowa and Cincinnati are the notables. Yeah, UAB is also in that tournament as well. So if they can match up with either or any of those three teams, I think that would be fun to watch. Cincinnati, I would say, is definitely the best team, at least on paper, of the group. So if Wyoming can match up with Cincinnati, that would be really fun to watch. And also a good test for Wyoming, who doesn't play a ton of quality opponents the rest of non-conference play. They do have a road game against South Carolina, but that's about it.
And also, if you want to watch these games, it looks like it's a streaming subscription. So we got to fork out a few bucks. So here's who they could play really quick. South Dakota State's a pretty good team, so that's not guaranteed the Cowboys get past them. But they'd want them to win because they could play Iowa, perhaps. And Big Ten team is a chance to play a big opponent, big name opponent, I guess, from a conference. So they could play Iowa, assuming that's the bracket correct he has set out here. And I guess the bottom, if they win that, or I don't know. Here's a combination. Like, they could play Iowa. If they lose, it's Louisiana, or obviously result pending. But getting a chance to play Iowa will help them out overall, because the rest of the bracket, UAB, Richmond, Buffalo, and Cincinnati. Is Cincinnati any good this year with Mick Cronin? Are they supposed
to be? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Bearcats should be really solid.
Sorry, I'm thinking about football.
That would be a good one.
Because they're terrible at football this year. So, there's some decent opponents. So if they can play Iowa and – I don't know how Richmond is. Richmond's usually okay in the A-10, but we'll see. So they have at least one chance to play a good opponent. These are all week. They're the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So you got those games. Anything else we need to talk about? Talk about most teams. Sorry if we didn't get to your team. You have grades handed out on Monday, right? Is that going to be posted tomorrow or Monday?
Yeah, we'll have our first report card of the season on Monday. So I encourage any and all takes to be sent my way. I'm looking forward to it.
Even cold takes?
Oh yeah, anything. It's fine.
Top 15 Rebel take?
Sure, why not?
We may laugh at you, right? We'll see. So yeah, that's what we got tonight. One thing I'm gonna do, I think I'm gonna start it next week. Two things I wanna start doing. So people, you can hold me accountable if I don't do it, just because I may not, but two things I wanna do. I'm gonna start doing a daily RPI thing, which could be pretty cool. It's kind of seeing who beat who. If you're like, if you have a quality win, not quality win, top 50 win, kind of running total that, because RPI gets updated every day. And so I may use KenPom and RPI and whatever to kind of give you guys a gauge of where these teams are at. Then also, one thing we talked about preseason, we haven't done it yet, but I think this would be pretty cool. I'm going to do some research and figure out who the Mountain West Player of the Year was every year from, what, 98 till now, and find out what their stats were. And then maybe once a week or something, kind of put something together saying these players, if they're on this pace, could be conference player of the year based on these numbers. I think that's pretty cool. That's something a little different to do.
Definitely. Yeah. I've done a little bit of research on that, so we'll definitely have something in the works. So that would be really fun to follow along and see what the results tell us.
Because you get guys like, who's won player of the year? You got Jimmer Fredette years ago. What, Kawhi Leonard? Did he win player of the year, I'm assuming, maybe once or twice?
Kawhi, I don't know off the top of my head. I can look it up real quick. Jimmer definitely did, and we won't have any season that's replicated like Jimmer's.
No, I think Jimmer beat it because him and Kawhi played the same years. So who knows? But I just think it's a cool stat. Like, we'll go through a stat line and see what players are on track to be considered.
I have a quick thing on Kawhi real quick. This is interesting. So he wasn't Mountain West Player of the Year. However, he was a Wooden Award finalist, and he was second team consensus All America. So
But Jimmer
that's
was first place All America, first team All American, right?
yeah.
It's kind of hard to beat
Yep.
that when you have the guy who can score 52 versus the Lobos or crush you at home in a top 10 matchup playing against San Diego State. So I think that's something cool to do. And they'll go back to the whole Mountain West, so there'll be some Utah stuff because I think Andrew Bogut was player of the year when he went number one overall. I think that was Mountain West as well back in 02 or something. But we'll mix it up. It's just something fun to go through because we don't just need recaps and score predictions, right?
Yeah, exactly. We'll mix in some fun things here and there and keep everyone entertained.
We'll do that. So that's our show for tonight. So check us out on Twitter, MWC Wire, Betker underscore Eli. Just you'll figure it out. Fine. Search Eli Betker. Maybe we can get him verified this season. Has to happen.
I don't know what the deal is with that. We'll
I
see.
stumble I stumbled into verification, and you should be able to get there as well.
Yeah, I think you still have like double the followers I do, but I'll keep
No,
working on it.
maybe. That's not almost not quite. You got almost 1,700 followers. Let's get Eli to 1,700 followers by Monday. It's only 6 away. You can do that, right?
Yeah, I hope so. As long as I don't make anyone mad.
Rebel fan, sorry in advance. No, I'm kidding. That was me. No, that's it. We'll figure it out. We'll get you
Definitely.
going. All right. So what the plan is really quick. We're probably gonna do these about once a week. So Thanksgiving coming up. So we'll see what we have going on because you heard our turkey talk. Maybe we'll skip Thanksgiving for something. I don't know. No, not really. But we'll figure it out. We'll
Good
have
old
a show.
feast week.
Yeah, Feast Week. That's guess it's a good name. I don't know. I guess we'll take it. But yeah, that's what we got for tonight. We're on Stitcher now, or we've always been on Stitcher. Sorry, Spreaker. Do you know what Spreaker is, Eli? Are you familiar with that service?
I am not up with any of my podcast lingo or sites or anything like that.
Are you familiar with SoundCloud?
Yes.
It's basically a SoundCloud clone. That's how I put it at. It looks exactly the same, except it's not orange, it's yellow. But it's basically the same thing. So that's another way for you to subscribe to this show. I know a lot of people use iTunes, or I guess the correct term is Apple Podcast at the moment. But if you have Android, you can use Stitcher, you could use other TuneIn. But you can use the app on Spreaker, which I've used time to time. It works pretty well. And like I said, if you like SoundCloud, you like that because we are not on SoundCloud because of, like I said, a football show. They don't give us any pennies, but Spreaker might give us a few pennies every now and then if you listen. So yeah, that's how you can find our show. Tune in, iTunes, all those fun places, Spreaker. Check it out. Just search our show, Mountain West Wire. You'll find us. And that's all we got for tonight. And yeah, as always, you know what it is. We're biased against your basketball team.